Okay, so last time when we spoke about Aina, we spoke about how to be kaver the price. That was really the main shaila we were discussing. And in today's economy, how are you kaveya the price of the price of the item? What I want to talk about today is a shaila we touched on last time, and gets into the real yisoides over here, which is, what happens if the buyer knows that he's overpaying? So first of all, is there an isra of Aina? And second of all, does he have a claim to get back the money? So before we get into that, let's just back up a step. And speak out one Gemara. I didn't make copies because there's only a few lines here and there. I didn't make it, but I'll just... The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Amar Rava, it's Gemara Nun Aleph Amud Beis in Bava Metzia, says, Amar Rava, that by Aina, there are three levels. Pachos Mishtos, any Aina that's overcharged less than a sixth of the price, overcharging less than a sixth, how you evaluate a sixth, maybe it's a sixth, but the simple touch of a six is it's 16% of the price. So if something's $100 and he charges you $110, so it's less than a sixth, he's charging a tenth more. It's less than a sixth more, right? So it's less than a sixth more of the price. So then the halacha is it's mechila. If you have no claim, it's mechila. Now whether it's mutter to do that or not, we spoke out last week from the Rosh, it's a machloikes. It's a machlokes, the Rosh brings two shittos if it's mutter to do that. So the moicher knows that the market value is 100, he marks it up to 105, 110, it's less than a sixth. The Gemara says it's mechila, so the guy who is ripped off or overcharged does not have a claim on the money. It's considered mechila, but is it mutter to do that or also to do that? It's a suffolk in the Rosh. The Rosh brings two shittos about it. Okay.
Who gauges market price?
That's what we spoke about last week.
There's certain items that are very rapidly.
Right. The only thing that we really can determine for sure is if things that are, let's say, government regulated, that is a clear market price. And sometimes things have a clear market price within a range of stores. So, like, basically, there's a range and they're all pretty much going for this price, and then this guy is, you know, out there for a little more. So, but assuming that we can figure that out, so then up to a sixth is no claim on the money. More than a sixth, the Gemara says, if he charges, it was $100 and he's charging $120, then the nis'ane, the person who was overcharged, has a claim to be mevatel the sale. He can come and say, I want my money back, and take the item and give me back my money. I'm not interested. And if it's exactly a sixth, that's the shear of Aina. And the shear of Aina means that the sale is Kayam, but he's allowed to claim back the money. So he paid $116 for an item that's worth $100. So that's a sixth extra. So the halacha is, he's allowed to claim the Aina and say, I want to get back my money, but the sale is final. Okay? So when we refer to Aina, we really refer to Aina at exactly that price. Now some say a fifth, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, one fifth is also a sixth. Because if you overcharge by a fifth, then it's a sixth of the total price is the Aina. So in other words, let's say it's $100 and you charge $120. So now the sale price is $120. One sixth of $120 is $20 is what he's using as Aina. So we paskin anything between a fifth and a sixth. Kipshuta has this, you know, this halacha. Okay, between 16% and 20%, Kipshuta has this halacha of Aina. Okay, now with that in mind, how did Chazal get to that? Is it halacha? So some Rishonim say this is halacha l'moshe Sinai, that's the price. Some Rishonim say this is just das b'nei Adam. That this is what's normally understood, that people know up to a sixth, and no one can be so precise, so people are moichel that. more than a sixth, wow, that's crazy. How can that guy, I feel totally like ripped off, whatever. And the price we're talking is exactly in that range. That's the sugya vayna, where the sale is kayam, but you have a claim to get back your money. Okay? That's the sugya vayna. Now, let's talk about when the moicher, the lokech, we're going to talk about the lokech. The lokech knows he's being overcharged. So we spoke out last week, this case of the milk. Right? It's Erev Pesach, I'm the only guy in town with milk, and I'm charging $7 for a half gallon or whatever.
Supply and demand.
Huh? Okay, so is that called supply and demand, or is that called taking advantage of people that are desperate?
Happens with everything. Happens now with tourniquets. Happens with the COVID during masks. Regardless of the price, if you can't get it, and I have it.
But there's still this concept of, you know, staying within the price.
Don't forget, part of the COVID problem was that the government cracked down for price gouging. They don't allow it.
Right. When you're taking advantage of a specific situation, so, or whatever it is. So it's a very, very complicated topic, this question. Okay, it's extremely complicated, and we're going to try to break it down as best as I can. We're going to start off with a. Let's start off with the following halacha. The halacha is, I don't know if you've ever, any of have learned the sugya of masa mashakasov batayra. There's a sugya about a person that comes and says, I want to do a certain transaction, but not with the laws of the Torah. So I want to, we spoke about it, if I want to lend you money, but I don't want to be subject to shvius. I want to marry you, but I don't want to have to support you. I want to, I want to have this relationship, but I don't want you to be my yoyrish, to inherit me, or whatever. So you're trying to play around with the dinim of the Torah. So what if a person comes and says, I want to do a sale with you, but I don't want it to be subject to Aina. The seller says, you come into my store, big sign, Amanash Ein Lecha Alay Aina, this store, where Aina free over here. So there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel if that works. Rav says it does not work. You can't say Amanash Ein Lecha Alay Aina, make a t'nai that Aina doesn't work. You can't do that. It's considered Masha Amasa Kosov. You can't make a tenai against the Torah. So the Gemara says, but Rabbi Yehuda holds that Masha Amasa Kosov Torah, if it's mominous, it works. It's mominous, it works. Because you could be moichel on momin. So if a person marries a woman and says, I'm not, I don't have to support you, it works, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So is Rav arguing on Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara says a line like this to answer that question. The Gemara says, Kam bestam, kam b'mefarish. That means in the case of Ana, if a person comes and says, I'm selling you something, but Amanah says no Ana, you can't really be Moichel that because you don't really believe the guy that there is Ana. Because he didn't tell you what exactly is on the table. What are you, is there Ana, is there not? Maybe he's just signing. A lot of times, okay, he's making a disclaimer. You read all the fine print on the disclaimer. You really think that half the things on the disclaimer are ever going to happen? So if the guy says, I'm not sure, you know, stamazoi, we assume that doesn't work. That's not a good mechila. But if the person comes and says, there is ona'a in this sale, I'm telling you right now, this item I'm selling you, there's ona'a over here. But I don't want you to come back to me with Bezdin and all this religious stuff. Amanash she'en lecha la'ina. So you're mefarish the o'ina. The Gemara says, then Rav agrees that that works and you cannot claim back the o'na. And kepshutoi, there's no isser either. The Rameir Simcha writes that there's no isser either. Okay? Fine. So, now, what gets very interesting is it's a machloikis in the achreinim or the rishonim, how to learn this case. I'm going to read you the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch and you'll tell me what you think it says. It says, Ha'omer l'chaveroi, amanash she'en lecha alay oina, yesh lo alav oina. That tonight does not work. B'med v'amorim b'stam, she'en yodea kam oina yesh. I don't know how much there is to be moichel. But, this is the Lashon of the Rambam. So listen carefully. Aval, b'mefarish, ein lo, it works. Ketzad. Moicher she'amar lelokeach. A seller sells to the buyer. Chayfet zesh ani noisin loch bekuf kuf. This item that I'm selling you for 200. Yedea ani she'en hashav el amon. My. It's really only worth 100. Amanash she'en lecha alay ayna. Then the t'nai works and there's no claim of ayna. So the sma in Sifkat and Lamites says, you see from the Shulchan Aruch, the whole thing is only in a very specific case. He actually has to speak out how much he's overcharging it for it to be worth it. So he would have to say, according to this, okay, again, every circumstance may be different, okay? That's why I'm just breaking it down. But in the first step, you go to electronics guy. He says, look, this item right here, market value is 100. I'm charging you 200. Hey, why in the world are you charging me 200? That's my cheshbon. I'm charging you 200. It's worth 100, but I don't want you to come back with ayna. It works. The sale works, okay? So the sma says it only works because you spoke out how much ayna there is. It's a very unlikely case, right? The guy's going to actually tell you, you know, really, I should be selling it for 100. I'm charging you 200, but I don't want you to have ayna. So, according to the sma, this halacha is pretty, is very specific. Okay? That's what the sma says. Others say, no, it's lav dafka that you have to actually say how much ayna. As long as you said that there is ayna, that also works. So as long as you said there is ayna here, and you said I'm a nasa, you shouldn't claim me. V'yeshar m'shafil ayna mefarsh haskum. It works, even though it's not like the sma. But others say maybe Rashi said like that, etc. Okay. Now, okay. So again, according to the sma, it seems like very specific this halacha. Now let's take it a step further. There's a very interesting question here. Let's go the other way around. Let's say I tell you it works, even if I say stamazay, there's a na over here. I'm overcharging you. I'm telling you I'm overcharging you, and there's a na, and I don't want you to have a claim of a na against me. Okay? That could be a more common case. He speaks out, look, I'm overcharging. This is more than, I could get it cheaper somewhere else. I know you could get it cheaper somewhere else. I'm not telling you I'm the cheapest guy in town. I'm telling you, this is my price. I just don't want you to come back against me and tell me there's ayna.
Are you allowed to do it still?
So if you speak out a tanai like that, you're allowed to. So now the question is as follows. The question is, why do you even have to speak out a whole tanai? Amana she'en lecha alay ayna. Why isn't it enough to say, look, there's ayna here, and you're buying it, and you know that you're overcharging, and you're overpaying. Isn't that enough to make a mechila? So you see from here, kipshuta. The Shulchan Aruch Rav writes that, yeah, it's lav dafka. You don't have to make a tanai in that case. If the guy told you there's ayna, and you go in and there's ayna, it's then there's an understood mechila. But everyone else says not like that. So what's pshat? What's going on over here? What's more?
The whole thing is a little baffling. If a guy has a little mom and pop store, and his competitors across the street with Walmart, and the item at Walmart is $100, and he sells it for $150 because he doesn't get the same wholesale discount that Walmart gets. Okay, so he sells it for, you know, the $160.
Okay, so
one other part of that is. Then we talked about the milk last week. He has to factor in his rent. And
okay, why is anyone buying by him?
Maybe so they don't have to go into Walmart and stand online.
Okay, so then he's providing something that the other person's not providing. So you're paying more for that relationship or for that trust or for that experience or something like that. So we're not, you have to compare in this sugya apples to apples.
Okay, so
you can't compare things.
Well,
so
apples from apple, store versus apples.
Fine, so it's two separate things. So
when he's calculating his 1/6%, then
he has to calculate what is the typical understanding in this industry of a typical markup that a person would make in this industry.
For this kind of store.
Even if it's more than 1/6.
Yeah.
But that determines the price at that point. But then he's going and taking advantage and saying, well, look, I know people like me so much, I could get away with charging more. The industry is standard, you make 20% profit after all your expenses.
After all your expenses.
Fine, but now I want to go make 35% and people will still come to me.
But it's almost impossible to calculate.
Okay,
one
so
item
that's
on
what I said.
Show.
The first shear in this thing is that in today's industry, I don't know how to calculate the price. This is all assuming we know the price and now we're going over the price. Okay, like we said last time, the most complicated part of this sugya is how do you determine what's the price and what's over the price? Okay,
now. What do you do when there are certain industries? I think we'll leave that one alone. But
right.
Let's go to the Goyishin.
There's a reason why we started this after Sukkot. Right. We didn't want to get into that.
A car dealership, the number one we have to get into. A car dealership with Marshall. The whole world knows that car dealers are full of overcharging.
But there's another. Whoa. But on the other hand,
knows?
Yes and no. On the other hand, there is a book value to most things. There's a way to find out the price. And, for example, in Lakewood, where there's three, four. There's three, four used car dealerships. So pretty much, adraba. Yeah, but they're not really. Because there's no two cars that are the same. But more or less, you know. Okay, so let's get back to this point. So the guy comes into the store and he's told, there is ona, I'm overcharging you. Still, you need to make a tanai. Why do you have to make a tanai? Shulchan Aruch says, you know, but still you have to make a tanai. Why? So the Ramban says a very important thing, and the Sifrei Pesachei Choshen brings it down from the Imrei Bina, who quotes the Ramban. Okay, and the Ramban says the following Yesoid, which explains a lot of this. The Ramban says that when a person is coming to buy, let me ask one more question before we go to this. We spoke out last week, and the Shulchan Aruch brings that if you buy something from a balabayas. A balabayas means someone that's selling his own personal stuff. There's no ayna whatsoever. There's no ayna. Because you know, Rashi says, because you know that he's probably not so interested in selling, and he's only kedai for him to sell if he's getting a certain amount of money, and you know that he's selling it for way more than the market value. Right? But look, I have a couple extra, you want to buy, whatever. So he's not subject to the market, and you know that, and therefore you're paying more. Or, if a person comes and says, be'elu, ani moichalach, meaning, I'm not giving you a chance to count it. There's a sack over here of, there's a bag here of, some electronics, earpod, whatever. There's a bag here of stuff, there's about 30 of them, this is the price, you want it or not? So, the halacha is that it's a valid sale, and you can't come back later with ona. So why? What's it? Why not? Why in those cases can't you come back with? But you go to a store, and the guy tells you there's ona, it doesn't work. What's the difference? So the Ramban says a very important insight. He says when a person's going to a store, and he's going into the store and he's trying to take advantage of the Gidre HaMekach HaMemkar. He's going with the regular Gidre HaMekach HaMemkar. He's buying from a store at market value. Then the Torah was Yoyred L'dayto Shel B'nei Adam. The Torah tells us no one's really Moichel. You want to get the real fair price. I'm coming to pay the price. I'm coming to buy something from you. You have a store. You're supposed to be selling things. I'm supposed to be buying. There's a way that this stuff works. And therefore, the understanding is that most people assume and want to pay the fair market value. They're not interested in overpaying and underpaying. They're going with the regular. Now, even if you tell me there's ona, I'm still not really moichel. I'm not moichel. You're telling me there's ona. First of all, I don't really believe you. I'm not moichel. I want to have the regular buying experience. Unless you tell me amenas is like kind of like changing what type of sale we're doing. We're doing something else. But otherwise, even if you tell me there's oina, it's not mechila. But if I'm a bala bias, then the experience you're not coming with regular mekach umemkar. You're it's more like I'm doing you a favor, you're doing me a favor. Or if you're mechar li be'elu, you're not coming with the price. It's the price. You want this amount of stuff. You want this. I want that. And we're doing like a chalipin. It's more like a different type of thing. But when the Torah says that sales are subject to Onah, period. You can't undo that. Okay? Basically. Now, after that whole thing, we still have to come and say more exceptions. But that's the rule that the Ramban puts down. So therefore, it would come out, according to this, that a big chiddush, that basically, even if the moicher knows, okay, the moicher knows, the guy that's being ripped off knows that he's overpaying, because the moicher told him the zayna, it's not considered mechila, and he still has a claim, unless he says beferish, ambanash in l'cha layana. Okay? So comes the, there's another halacha that kind of makes it a little complicated. Okay? So listen to this case. If you were following everything till now, this is a Gishmak case. Case goes like this. A guy comes to a store, remember the numbers carefully. A guy comes to a store, there's a $100 item. The person in the store wants to charge him $120 for argument's sake. Because we said, remember, $120 is also considered a sixth. He wants to charge him $120. Now he knows that he can negotiate him down to $115. He's charging $120. I can negotiate him down to $115. He doesn't negotiate and he pays it for the $120. He steps out of the store and his friend is there. He's like, why didn't you try to negotiate the price? Why don't you try to get it down to $115? So he says, very simple, why? Because if I would get it down to $115, I know this is Onah. This guy's overcharging me. $120, the price is $100. But if I negotiate him down to $115, so now it's less than a sixth of Onah, it's going to be considered Mechila. I won't have a claim. I'd rather pay the $120, then come back 5 minutes later and say, I want my $20 back. I'll end up paying $100. Why should I negotiate down to $115? If I do that, I'm paying $15 extra, which is considered Mechila. I would rather pay $120 and be tovea the Aynah. That's a Gemara. Okay? This is a Gemara. It's called Varshiki. It's a sugya that an alpha and alpha and babinsia. This is the sugya. So says the Mordechai, you see from over here that the guy knew it was Aynah going in. He knew it was Aynah going in. And even though he knew it was Onah going in, clearly he knew, because he told his friend that he knew, and he bought it anyway, says the Gemara, it's not Mechila, which fits with what we're saying. Even if you knew, but here it's less of a Chiddush, because the Ksais explains why. So even though you knew you were overpaying, it's not considered Mechila. Okay? So, okay. Now, says the Taz, something very interesting over here. He says, but this logic only makes sense if it was exactly 1/6, because then what was the guy thinking? What was the guy thinking? I'm going to pay the $120 and get back the $20. But if the Aynah was more than a sixth, it was $125. So what's my claim? I'll come afterwards. I want to be mevatel the mekach. So then why are you doing the mekach? Right. It wouldn't make sense. So the Taz says if you paid more than a sixth, then the assumption is that there was Mechila. Because otherwise, why is he doing it? So he would lose his claim for Mechila. So it's important to point out, this sugi that we're talking is really on the claim of the Onah itself. Once you pass the Onah, it doesn't make sense, the whole thing. Okay? But this is what the Taz says. So this is a halach and Shulchan Aruch. So this would fit with this concept, okay? However, there's another halacha here. So far, this is the setup, okay? You have to know, even if you know it's not mechila, even if you know it's not mechila, okay? Unless you make a tanai, and you have to really speak out in the tanai that there's onah. But if you didn't speak it out, even if you know you're overpaying, kipshuta de stol onah. So now we still have the milk case. The guy comes in and charges $10 for the milk, okay? So, and you know, there's no way that this guy is trying even to get fair price. So there's another Gemara here, which at first seems to be completely contradict everything we're saying. and we have to figure out how to be miyashav it. But there's a Gemara that says that if you charge right now, yoyisem mechidei shadas toya, more than anybody could theoretically make a mistake. You charged way more than what the average price. So that becomes a different category. So let me explain. Till now we're talking that the seller is trying to get away with, you know, putting into the price more money and trying to basically say, this is the price. Oh, I'm a little expensive, I'm a little not expensive, whatever. This is, I'm trying to put into the... What if you hit a price, a point in the price that has no shaychus to the market value? It's literally like double. And there's no way that anybody walking in here would think that they're paying market value. It's not... So now you're a little bit out of Aina. Because part of Aina, part of the Avera of Aina is the trickery. You're trying to trick the guy. Now, even if you say, look, everything in my store is fair priced, this particular item is Aina. So that we said the Ramban, if you don't make it tonight, it still doesn't work because you're still really, even though you're saying there's Aina, but you're still working within the regular parameters of sales. But if you stick on a price that has no shaykhis to the price, it's way, way overpriced. So now, everybody knows, anybody knows, that they're not, why are they buying it for that price? Why would they be willing to? They don't care. They don't care. And they understand that you're overcharging because you're not even trying to fake that it's the real. Like sometimes in real estate, you have I'm selling, you know, try to get a good price, so it's on the higher end of what. And then I'm not interested in selling, but if you give me $3 million, I'll sell it. So I'm not even trying to get the regular price. I know it's not the regular price, right? So there, it sounds there. What you're limiting is there's no real trickery going on here. So the halacha seems to be in that case where it's way overpriced and it's not even close to the market value. Fakir, there's no ayna. Yoyisim mechdesh adas toya, that there's no trickery involved. There's no ramos. There's no, oh, I'm a little bit more expensive if I sneak it. You know, there it could be that there's no ayna. And it's better than in a case where you're a sixth, you're a sixth more, you're a little bit more, 20% more. No. That's all subject to Oina, and the only way to get out of that is the way we're saying is with a Tanai. But if you're Yoisi Mechadesh Hadas Toya, could be that's an exception to the rule. And again, that would fit in with the concept of Balabais or Mechorli Be'elu, where it's not a regular sale. Okay, so I think these are the two categories. You know, this reminds me of a Vart from the Netziv, an amazing Vart. That the Gemara says at the end, the Chazrashi brings in Chumash, and the Parshas Kiseitzei, there's Alavoin Mishkolois. Amalek ba. Amalek comes when, as a response to when Klal Yisrael has dishonest weights. That's why the parsha of Mishkalos is next to Amalek. It's dishonest weights, right? So the question then says, why are we getting so specific? It's about dishonest weights. Just say, if you steal, it's gzela basically. You're stealing. So why is Amalek specifically coming for the aver of dishonest weights? So Netziv says a Gavaldika idea. He says that stealing, what's the shirish of stealing, of the aver of gezel? The shirish of gezel, he says, is taiva. You want that item so badly that you're willing to steal it. You want the car, you want the shoes, you want that item, and you steal it. Okay? It says, Mishkalois, what's the shirish? Where does it come from? You need that extra 3 cents on the per 3 cents per pound on the potatoes? You have such a taiva for that 3 cents per pound? No. So where does it come from? He says, not from taiva. It comes from kfira. It comes from a lack of emunah that Hashem will give you parnas in your business. So you don't think that you can make money running your business the honest way. So you have to run your business in a dishonest way. It's not coming from taiva. It's coming from a lack of emuna. So he says a molek doesn't come for stam stealing. That's a different avera. But you, but avoin of mishkalos, which is coming from a dishonesty in business, is because you feel that, you know, I need to make my parnasa, and Hashem is not going to give me the parnasa. So he says that's where a molek comes in. So there's a certain, you know, it's worse when you're trying to fit in within the parameters of sales and you're tricking the person. That's why not. Now, even if you're saying it straight out, still, you're trying to do a regular sale, unless you said amanas, according to most shitas. But if you're coming and you're saying that, look, I'm not doing a regular sale. It's straight out there. This is Yosef Erdesh Adas Toya. Just triple the price. There's no way the seller thinks that the buyer thinks he's getting a good price. Kolzman, it's possible that the seller thinks that the buyer thinks he's getting a good price.
Tricking.
Then he's tricking him. Now, even if the buyer knows, like we said last week, in the case where the guy, it was 120 and he could have negotiated, turns out the buyer knew. But the seller didn't know that the buyer knew. So as far as the seller was concerned, he was still fooling him. That's what the Ketzoy says. The seller, and then let me just finish the thought. So the seller didn't know that the buyer knew, right? So since the seller doesn't know that the buyer knows, because he still thinks they could be tricking him, it's ona. Even if the buyer does know. And even if he tells him there's ona here, still the Ramban says, at the end, the buyer still thinks he's getting a good deal. He still feels tricked. Okay? So Mimel, all that is subject to ona. If you're doing a different type of sale completely, either from a Baal Bais on his personal yard sale, or Mecharli Be'elu, or there's another case also, where you're noisev and noisev ba'amana, which basically means the buyer essentially completely trusts the seller. In other words, he basically, that's his shliach or whatever. Certain cases where you're not trying to get the regular market value, you're not going to get a regular buying experience, in those cases there's no ona, because there's no trickery. So the shurish of the ona is the trickery, and that's where it comes in, okay? But that alone, that you're overcharging, that he knows, is not enough to get it. Now, let's think about the milk. If the guy shows up, he puts on a table, you know, this is the whole milk in the city, and it's Erev Pesach, whoever wants, come and pay 10 gallons. They're not going to be oina. They can't necessarily claim oina on that, because he's not tricking them. He's not coming to tell them this is the price. Now, so therefore, they can't come and say, I'll buy the milk, and oh, give me back the money. Now, you want to know if it's mutter or asr, it's probably not the most, you know, gewaldika hanhaga.
More the amalek situation.
Right. But it's, I don't know that it's the love of oina, because there's no trickery involved over here. So Yosef Mechadesh Adas Toya is a whole different type of category. Okay? So comes out that if he would have charged and say, look, the regular store is $450, I'm gonna do $550. So they could say, okay, look, Erev Pesach, this price gets inflated. You know, maybe that's even worse. If he comes in straight out and says, look, this is what it is, then it could be it's not aina, because it's Yosef Mechadesh Adas Toya. No one actually thinks that this is fair. No one thinks it's the right price. And it's a different thing. I'm buying out of desperation or whatever. Then you know, there could be that there's no way no. Whether it's mutter or asr, you know, I don't think it's asr, but it's definitely not a no.
That's price gouging is not a no. It's
not a no because there's no trickery involved over here. Now you want to know, is it mutter or asr?
I'm way too expensive. Buy it or not.
Well, I don't know exactly what that is, because slowly the market is going up, right? So now everyone that has this item is charging more. That's why it's a little... Well, you tried to control the market there.
If you're the outlier, if you're the massive outlier, because, again, the milk is $10. I'm selling the milk $10 because nobody else has it. It's not like the Winn-Dixie that gets a few bottles every 3 hours might not going to raise their price.
Right. Right, that case. But you're talking about, like, in COVID and these types of things. So it could be that you could, I don't know, it could be that they could slowly think, you know, yeah, look, I guess that's the price, you know. Look at Amazon, I'm only $2 more than Amazon.
Right,
Price gouging may be wrong, but it's not, I know it's what you're
saying. I'm just saying it depends on the scenario, yeah.
Does a case of something that's objective like artwork fall into like a Bala Bryas type of thing?
Probably. There's a halacha here. It says because we talked about antiques last week. I don't know if there's, it's okay. So a unique item. If you're an artist and you have a unique item, then you're allowed to charge whatever price you want. Because there's no market on that. Yeah, there's a unique item. There's one of them in the world, and I just made it. So, you know, that's different.
Sold it to one guy for $50, another guy for $500. He can't come back and say, hey, what do you say?
What do you mean? It's an item that's for sale?
Well, lithograph is like
a photocopy.
Like a photocopy. So it's, you know, a lot of artists will, it's not unique, it's unique to the artist, but there are many copies of it.
So if there's a market value for it, then I don't know. I'm not sure. But there is one exception, which we mentioned last week, but I just looked it up, and Taka, they say that it's an exception, is an auction. If you're selling it at a public auction, so basically what you're saying is the seller's willing to take the risk. So it'd be exactly what we're saying. The idea is not that you're coming to try to get a specific price or fool anybody. It's all out there. If it gets lowballed, then he's going to sell it for that. So the Mimela is not on that, because first of all, the seller is not involved. And he's selling to the highest bidder, so there's only a gnaw on something that goes off on a public auction, because it's not being sold in that regular well.
It's not part of the regular Mecca.
Right, right. It's not part of the regular Mecca. He's not trying to fool anyone, because he made it pretty clear that he was willing, his lowest offer was whatever it was, and he puts it out on the market. That's not going to be, I know. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here. Shkar.